to the saints at Concordia Theological Seminary at Fort Wayne, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text on which I will base our meditation this morning is the portion from the Epistle to the Ephesians that was read from the lectern, and which also just happens to be the text that my wife Kathy and I chose as our wedding text. I say just happens to be because it seems like a real coincidence, but I don't really think so. I think it's all a part of his plan. God has quite a sense of humor, and this is just another case in point. About 3 weeks ago, when the Dean of Chapel, Reverend Berglund, asked me if I would be willing to prepare a sermon for a chapel service, I consented. He chose a day, June 12th, and he gave me the text for the day, Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21, our wedding text. It was then that God's sense of humor began to sink in. It was no coincidence. Our wedding text and my sermon in chapel at the seminary, both coming on the same day, is all a part of his plan. And so it is for all of life as his people. It's all part of his plan. He wants us to live our lives with boldness and confidence, certain of the riches and blessings he has in store for us as his people. But all too often, we find ourselves too timid and afraid, too ashamed, too insecure, and discouraged. In our text, the Christian community in Ephesus was discouraged when they heard about all of the troubles Paul encountered after the time he spent with them. Christians frequently face discouragement in their efforts to lead people to Jesus Christ. Pastors become discouraged when little interest is shown in reading God's word or attending worship services. Church leaders become discouraged when few people respond to a new Bible class series. Congregations become discouraged when a community evangelism effort shows minimal results. One night, a minister dreamed of being given the task of breaking apart a huge granite rock with a pickaxe. Hour after hour, day after day, he struggled with no success. In discouragement, he sat down and quit. Suddenly, a man stood beside him asking, "Why did you quit working on this rock?" "I have had no success," replied the minister. The stranger solemnly replied, "That is nothing to you. Your job is to keep on swinging the pickaxe, whether the rock breaks or not." We Christians are assigned also to keep swinging the pickaxe, that is, to keep sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit then takes over to change people's hearts and lead them to faith in Jesus. Here in our text, we are reminded once again to live up to our high calling as we contemplate the state to which the Ephesians were taught to aspire. When things are going good, being a Christian is easy. When troubles come, then being a Christian is a bit more of a challenge. We need to be careful not to be intimidated by tribulations, but rather consider it an honor to endure sufferings. For some, the drudgery of the duties of everyday life has placed them in danger of having their faith destroyed by the temptations of the devil. I can vividly remember a time last fall when I sat in my room crying, literally crying. What have I done? I asked myself. I'm not suited for the ministry. I don't have what it takes. Doubt, fear, feeling of insufficiency and inadequacy had completely overwhelmed me at that time. Perhaps you have felt that way at times also. We often feel that way from time to time. But as we can see from Paul's prayer in our text, Christians are to be stabilized, strengthened, and comforted by him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I grew up on a farm about 4 miles west of Bay City, Michigan. Farming had its good times, and it taught me some valuable lessons of life. It also had its trials and difficulties. Several times, a field of crops would be partially or completely destroyed by wind, rain, hail, or sometimes even locusts. After one particularly devastating hailstorm that did extensive damage to many farmers' wheat crop, the neighboring farmer, a devout Christian man, commented, "I've noticed over the years that those who are Christians can stick it out much better than those who aren't." If you were in services yesterday, the epistle reading from Romans chapter 5 said it very well. It said, "We also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." Yes, God will give his Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And we pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being. Oh, we will experience storms and setbacks in our ministries, just as couples have conflicts and disagreements in their lives. Yet through all those difficult and trying times, he is always there to strengthen us, to forgive us, and to renew us. A grandmother, celebrating her golden anniversary, told the secret of her long and happy marriage. "On my wedding day, I decided to make a list of 10 of my husband's faults, which for the sake of our marriage, I would overlook." A guest asked the woman what some of the faults were that she had chosen to overlook. Well, the grandmother replied, "To tell you the truth, my dear, I never did get around to listing them. But whenever my husband did something that made me hopping mad, I'd say to myself, 'Lucky for him, that's one of the 10. Forgiveness is the power that transforms lives, relationships, marriages, and our ministries. When sin is removed completely, relationships are restored. God has demonstrated radical reconstruction by accepting us as his children, as his holy bride. the church. He forgives and forgets all our weaknesses and wrongs and expects us to do the same to others. Christ's love transforms us into his image and fills us with all his fullness. He delights to dwell in our hearts. He has promised to come and make his abode with his people. When he does, we experience an enlarged discovery of the love of Christ, a love that has an unbounded depth and length and breadth and height. It reaches from everlasting to everlasting. It surpasses all human knowledge. When comprehended by the saints, its immeasurable dimensions simply amaze us. By faith, the doors of our hearts are opened and we enjoy the sense of his presence in our lives. He will never refuse what is good for us. His faithfulness and generosity are inexhaustible. He is there to sustain us in our times of trial. He remains immovable and strengthens us amidst the storms that assail us. He enables us to exercise his love in our lives. I recently read a story about a woman who for years was married to a harsh husband. Each day he would leave her a list of chores to be completed before he returned home at the end of the day. It was clean the yard, stack the firewood, wash the windows. And if she didn't complete the tasks, she would be greeted with his explosive anger. He was never satisfied with what she did. He always would find inadequacies in her work. Well, after several years, the husband passed away. Sometime later, she remarried, this time to a man who lavished her with tenderness and adoration. One day, while going through a box of old papers, the wife discovered one of her first husband's lists. As she read the sheet, a realization caused a tear of joy to splash on the paper. I'm still doing all those things, and no one has to tell me. I do it because I love him. Our husband, Jesus Christ, the bridegroom of his bride, the church, gave his life for us so that we might be saved. Gives us new life and lavishes us with his love from day to day. That is the unique characteristic of the new life. We don't work in order to get to heaven. We work because we're going to heaven. We trust in God with a living faith, active in Christian living. Arrogance and fear, doubt, and yes, even discouragement, are replaced with gratitude and joy. May our lives of service in his name bring us immeasurable joy. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.